guy picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yep. Welcome back.
So many things go through my mind. Holy cow. You know, George Friedman at Brain Bar Budapest talking about, you know, is there a global war coming? And he's snickering the whole time. I just can't get that out of my mind. Talking about how, you know, all of modern society is steeped in war. I introduce you to the iPhone. It's war is sitting with you now. So, in the impact of science on society, which probably should have been properly titled something along the lines of the impact of cybernetic technocratic technique on society. That's what he means by science. In chapter 3, he wrote, it is to be expected that advances in physiology and psychology, and I would say parenthetically, enter interoception. It is to be expected that advances in physiology and psychology will give governments much more control over individual mentality than they now have, even in totalitarian countries. You know, and you listen to the experts, by the way. I mean, I mentioned, for example, the Frontline documentary, United States of Secrets. Even that, you know, is PBS. And you have the experts and former intelligence analysts and people saying, you know, you have these social media platforms and all, you might as well just, you know, resign yourself to the fact that whatever information these companies have, the government has. Just, you know. And so, without getting too far afield, Bertrand Russell wrote, it is to be expected that advances in physiology and psychology will give governments much more control over individual mentality than they now have, even in totalitarian countries. Fidel laid it down that education should aim at destroying free will so that after pupils have left school, they shall be incapable throughout the rest of their lives of thinking or acting otherwise than as their schoolmasters would have wished. Doesn't that sound like brainwashing? Doesn't that sound like a disorienting perspective, you know, a fog that settles over the student's mind in this case until he loses touch with reality, contrary to human nature? By the way, inseparable from communism, I digress. But in his day, Russell wrote, this was an unattainable ideal. What he regarded as the best system in existence produced Karl Marx. Can you imagine? That's the starting point in the dialectical continuum. We're supposed to, from Karl Marx to more vicious and corrupt and confused, more darkened. Down Romans 1 we go. In future, Russell wrote, such failures are not likely to occur where there is a dictatorship. Diet, injections, and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable. It's called coercive persuasion. No, wait, voluntary compliance. And any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible. Even if all are miserable, all will believe themselves happy because the government will tell them that they are so. And then he added, a totalitarian government with a scientific bent. What is the push these days in America? STEM? Science, technology, engineering, and math? Just a lopsided brain approach. You know, there's no There's no art. There's no creativity or anything in that. Just creating, you know, coder bots. A totalitarian government with a scientific bent might do things that to us would seem horrifying. The Nazis were more scientific than the present rulers of Russia, and were more inclined toward the sort of atrocities that I have in mind. Isn't that fun? So we played in the first hour. The second clip that we played at the beginning of the first hour was Sam Vaknin, Signs You Are a Victim of Narcissistic Abuse, Not Common Abuse. And, you know, he talks about this network of, you know, instead of just a pinpointed sort of abuse, kind of a one-on-one, you know, peer-to-peer kind of abuse, it's a network of abuse. And via reinforcement, via operant conditioning, induces learned helplessness and trauma bonding, cultish shared psychosis, or call it mass psychogenic illness, you know, that sort of takes over. I mean, he talked about coining the term flying monkeys. What about flying zombies? If we had a zombie apocalypse, what would it look like? And that's, you know, kind of humorous perhaps, and kind of not. Like, what would it look like? You know, we're encouraged to believe that it's these, you know, the Walking Dead is the quintessential visual illustration. It's grotesque, you know, it's the Walking Dead. But what if the Walking Dead didn't look like that? What if they seem like normal functioning people, and but their minds were taken over and they were no longer themselves? This is what you know, that's, to me, that sounds a lot like what Dietrich Bonhoeffer is describing when he says that the way he put it, upon closer observation, it becomes apparent that every strong upsurge of power, you know, it's like our autonomy shrinks. It withers with the strong upsurge of power. Anyway, he says, it becomes apparent that every strong upsurge of power in the public sphere, be it of a political or religious nature, infects a large part of humankind with stupidity. The power of the one needs the stupidity of the other. The process at work here is not that particular human capacities, for instance, the intellect, suddenly atrophy or fail. Instead, it seems that under the overwhelming impact of rising power, it's like a self-preservation mechanism. Humans are deprived of their inner independence and more or less consciously give up establishing autonomous position toward the emerging circumstances. It's, you know, it's a form of Stockholm syndrome. I just want to survive. I don't want to be annihilated by this thing. The fact that the stupid person is often stubborn must not blind us to the fact that he is not independent. In conversation with him, one virtually feels that one is not dealing at all with him as a person, but with slogans, catchwords, and the like that have taken possession of him. He is under a spell, blinded, misused, and abused in his very being. Having thus become a mindless tool, a zombie, the stupid person will also be capable of any evil and at the same time incapable of seeing that it is evil. This is where the danger of diabolical misuse lurks, for it is this that can once and for all destroy human beings. There are other things that we could factor in. Listen to the points that Dick Gregory cites in the 2008 State of the Black Union, for example. Things in the water, things in the air. His point about manganese, for example. You know, these external influences that are like, you know, that catalyze this kind of viciousness. Pour those catalysts on this fire of the danger of diabolical misuse that can once and for all destroy human beings, as Bonhoeffer writes. So having thus become a mindless tool, let me finish the excerpt from Hayek's Road to Serfdom, and then I want to go to this other stuff. And I will leave it to you, I suppose. We won't get to it. Certainly won't get to all of it in today's broadcast, but I sent a couple of things to some people. So the piece that was shared by a friend, Carl Zimmer's Mindsuckers article from 2014 that was featured in National Geographic. Read that. You can read it on his website, carlzimmer.com. Read his Mindsuckers article, and then watch the video on YouTube titled Narcissist Takes Over Your Mind. Learn how. And parenthetically, it's Gran and Vaknin Convo. And so it's a conversation between Richard Grannon and Sam Vaknin. It's on Sam Vaknin's channel. And I think it's easy to sort of have a myopic perspective with this stuff. You know, you read about, you know, you read Kevin Dutton's book, sure, you know, like Amit said during his call in the first hour, you know, speaking to a friend who was talking about a, you know, workplace situation where the mass of people, majority of people work for a small group of psychopaths, essentially, or sociopaths, a small minority. It's easy to sort of get target fixated, I think, even when we're talking about, I don't know, a certain political figure, a certain pundit, a certain group of folks, World Economic Forum or whatever. But, you know, when you start thinking about this dynamic being applied on a larger scale, it really is it's quite terrifying, I think. You know, how far reaching are the effects, the pervasive effects of this mind manipulation, this coercive persuasion, this brainwashing? So, well, let me just finish the Hayek excerpt, chapter 10, The Road to Serfdom, Why the Worst Get on Top. So just to put the whole thing together, that socialism can be put into practice only by methods which most socialists disapprove is, of course, a lesson learned by many social reformers in the past. See, people think this stuff through to a critical end, and this is what happens. You know, you have these egalitarian and humanitarian and philanthropic ideas, but when the rubber meets the road, you know, force is required. And that's the continuum that is chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top. You know, the one guy says, hey, we got a great idea, can't rally a consensus of folks. The next guy says, well, I'll just do it by force, I'll do that. And then he has some ideas, but he's like, man, that's, we'd have to be too heavy-handed to do that. The next guy shows up and says, I'll do it. But he has some ideas that are a little too heavy-handed, and so on and so on. That's how it happens. And what are we seeing now? Now we have the unscrupulous and completely uninhibited Bill Gates. And I would say even more sinister than that. It's not a benign or benevolent effort. It is a very malignant, very malevolent interest that's being perpetrated under the specious guise of benevolence. And astonishingly, remarkably, apparently, many people can't see through it. And I think, you know, again, getting back to my point about mercy, grace, mercy, compassion, empathy, I think that has a lot to do with this brainwashing, this coercive persuasion, I think it has a lot to do with these people, like Bonhoeffer observed, being, you know, having become a mindless tool under a spell, blinded, misused, and abused in their very being. And to, you know, to sort of objectify people, to caricaturize people, and to say, oh, that stupid so-and-so, that whatever, is really just to, I think, further injure people and to drive them further into their Stockholm syndrome, if that makes sense. Anyway, Hayek, that socialism can be put into practice only by methods which most socialists disapprove is, of course, a lesson learned by many social reformers in the past. The old socialist parties were inhibited by their democratic ideals. They did not possess the ruthlessness required for the performance of their chosen task. It is characteristic that both in Germany and in Italy, the success of fascism was preceded by the refusal of the socialist parties to take over the responsibilities of government. They were unwilling wholeheartedly to employ the methods to which they had pointed the way. They still hoped for the miracle of a majority's agreeing on a particular plan for the organization of the whole of society. Others had already learned the lesson that in a planned society, so I read from John T. Flynn's The Roosevelt Myth. How long has this been a planned society? Others had already learned the lesson that in a planned society, the question can no longer be on what do a majority of the people agree. Wasn't that the kind of the democratic ideal? Only wait, we had a republic that was supposed to protect the minority from the majority. Others had already learned the lesson that in a planned society, the question can no longer be on what do a majority of the people agree, but what the largest single group is whose members agree sufficiently to make unified direction of all affairs possible, or if no such group large enough to enforce its views exists, how it can be created and who will succeed in creating and obviously leading it. And it's interesting that instead of, you know, in true cultural Marxist spirit, this bent to weld together some sufficient number of folks large enough to enforce its views, it relies on the sort of what do you call it? The disenfranchised minority in an orthodox sense that has been psychologically injured. You know, largely infected with a victim psychopathy, so to speak. This is, you know, and this is a small minority of folks, and it's a, you know, it's a minority of minorities, a collection of minorities, the you know, the alphabet crowd, the alphabet mafia, you know, as Jason Whitlock would say. But as an example, but it's interesting that the victim psychopathy sector of society is sort of what's targeted to, you know, weaponize against themselves, because they don't, they're not balanced, they don't you know, kind of reactive in nature, they don't think things through, generally speaking, they don't sit around and sort of ponder things and before they take action say, you know what, so they're disenfranchised, they have nothing to lose, they're reactionary, maybe that's not a maybe that's not a good idea. Stick around. I'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. All right, so like I said, you know, the focal point is what we're not going to have time to get to, but I would just leave it to the listener to, you know, read and watch and see for yourself. And I think hopefully, if anything comes out of this, you know, it's a sort of rehumanizing of one's ideological adversaries, if that makes sense, because maybe they're not acting on their own volition. Maybe, like Bonhoeffer said, they maybe in conversation with him, one virtually feels that one is not dealing not at all with him as a person, but with slogans, mask up, catchwords, and the like that have taken possession of him. He's under a spell, blinded, misused, and abused in his very being. And there is, you know, scientific evidence for this. And, you know, in the... So the article to read is Carl Zimmer's Mindsuckers article that was featured in National Geographic back in November of 2014. The cover is disgusting. The whole story is just creepy. The article is creepy and gross, I think. You know, the implications. And how many movies have we seen about this kind of stuff? You know, the alien movies, for example, and stuff. You know, the alien larvae is hatched out of the, you know, the scientists on a remote station are, you know, everybody's running around. And the next thing you know, what happened to Dave? Oh, my goodness, the alien is hatching out of Dave. That's disgusting. So this kind of stuff, you know. And, of course, Richard Dawkins' Selfish Gene is mentioned, which is, How mutations and natural selection could give rise to such creepy powers is a particularly intriguing puzzle for evolutionary biologists. One useful concept for thinking about it comes from biologist Richard Dawkins. You mean Satanist Richard Dawkins? Author of the landmark book The Selfish Gene. In that book, Dawkins argues that genes evolve to make copies of themselves more successfully. And this gets to the conversation between Richard Grannon and Sam Vaknin. You know, how healthy cells make copies of viruses, essentially, in simple terms. Anyway, and, you know, how people replicate in psychological fashion, psychosis, essentially, and neurosis. So, in that book, Dawkins argues that genes evolve to make copies of themselves more successfully. Our bodies may be important to us, but from our genes' point of view, they are nothing more than vehicles to get themselves intact into the next generation. The entire collection of the genes that make up you or me is called our genotype. The sum total of all the bodily parts and functions that our genotype creates to advance its cause, you or me, is called our phenotype. And this, again, is something that has been intensely studied. And so now you have the biotechnological aspect of this research happening. You know, again, books like Fukuyama's Post-Human Future, Consequences of the Biotechnology Revolution. And you also have Google's Selfish Ledger coming at this from a different angle of Lamarckian epigenetics to try to accomplish the same thing. You know, and it all amounts to how can we manipulate and alter you and mess with you and monetize that whole process while we're doing it in ways that are either indetectable to and by you, imperceptible, and or maybe you'll, if you do know about it, then you'll just be in hearty support of it. Yay! You know what? I could use some dragon wings and I want to glow like a jellyfish. Wouldn't that be great? So, continuing, it occurred to Dawkins that we don't have to limit phenotypes to the boundaries of our bodies. They also include the behaviors brought about by our genes. The behaviors brought about by our genes. Mindsuckers, behaviors brought about by our genes. Stick around, I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's broadcast. So hopefully compassion, empathy, grace, mercy, but it's a... I don't want to say calculated, but, you know, it's It's not without boundaries, and it's not without vigilance. Because again, as you know, even if someone has become a mindless tool, as Bonhoeffer observed from personal experience, this person will also be capable of any evil and at the same time incapable of seeing that it is evil. He is a zombie. Mindless tool. You know, crowd psychopathy, herd psychopathy, herd psychosis, herd neurosis, mass psychogenic illness. Does it happen? Yeah, it happens. There are recorded cases in history. And, you know, we played the video. What is the title of that video? Mass psychosis, how an entire population becomes mentally ill. That's one of them. But I also talked about and actually wrote an article, you know, We're All Cats Now, last month. And featured that segment of Tucker Carlson, you know, talking about episodes of mass psychogenic illness, and also included the Academy of Ideas video titled The Big Lie, How to Enslave the World, with, you know, mass psychosis, how an entire population becomes mentally ill. And then, of course, Aaron and Melissa Dykes, True Stream Media, you know, the video, The Characteristics of an Initiation Ritual. Remember early on, April of last year, they published that, which was, I mean, that's it in a nutshell. So anyway, compassion, grace, mercy, empathy, but, you know, hypervigilance at the same time, because, you know, the zombie, the mindless tool, will also be capable of any evil and at the same time incapable of seeing that it is evil. This is where the danger of diabolical misuse lurks, for it is this that can once and for all destroy human beings. So back to Carl Zimmer's article and the useful excerpt. So it occurred to Dawkins, Satanist Richard Dawkins, that we don't have to limit phenotypes to the boundaries of our bodies. They also include the behaviors brought about by our genes. If the power of a gene can extend to manipulation of the physical world, Dawkins wondered, which is kind of like, what's his name? You know, Bernays. The question naturally arose. If we understand the mechanism and motives of the group mind, is it not possible to control and regiment the masses according to our will without their knowing it? I mean, the question naturally arose, can we turn people into mental slaves without their knowing it? Maybe with their hearty approval? Could we? I mean, it was just kind of a natural question. No, it's only a natural question if you're a psychopath by nature. Good grief. If the power of a gene can extend to the manipulation of the physical world, Dawkins wondered, could it not extend as well to the manipulation of another living creature? So basically, you think like a parasite. Okay, that's awesome. You think like a vampire. I think you just outed yourself. Dawkins wondered, could it not extend as well to the manipulation of another living creature? Vampires of the world unite! Dawkins argued that it could, and he pointed to parasites as his prime example. Look, we could be like parasites, you know, and so this brings things like the scene in The Matrix, you know, Hugo Weaving's character, Agent Smith, right? You're a parasite, and we are the cure. Is that what he says? Something like that. Actually, it's not you and I are that are the parasite, because we don't think like this. We're not thinking about, you know, I have never wondered could a gene's manipulation of the physical world extend to the manipulation of another living creature? I've never wondered that. I'm sure you never have either. So, but some people do. And, you know, I would argue those people are parasitic by nature. And, you know, that calls to mind, I don't know, a number of things. What about, let's see, it's been a while. Nope, can't find it. The Host and the Parasite. Oh, some people, yeah. Greg Felton's book, right? The Host and the Parasite. You're not supposed to talk about these things, though. But that's, you know, I mean, that's one angle. There are other things that have been written about this, but it's just the concept that I'm talking about more than anything. So Dawkins argued that it could, and he pointed to parasites as his prime example. The ability of a parasite to control the behavior of a host is encoded in its genes. So Richard Dawkins has the genetic makeup of a parasite? Interesting. If one of those genes mutated, the host's behavior would change. Depending on how it changed, the mutation might help or harm the parasite. And then this is a weird sentence. If a flu virus mutates so that its victims lock themselves away and starve to death. Huh. That reminds me of something. I can't quite think of what, but if a flu virus mutates so that its victims lock themselves away and starve to death, the virus will be unlikely to spread to other hosts, and it will disappear from the population of viruses. But what if a mad scientist, like an arch supervillain with a Malthusian bent, doesn't care about, you know, proliferating the virus so much as causing people, victims, to lock themselves away and starve to death? Anyway. A mutation in a parasite that influences a host behavior for the better will become more common. If a wasp acquires a mutation that compels its ladybug host to begin to act as a bodyguard, for example, its offspring carrying that trait will thrive because fewer of them will be killed by predators. Dawkins first developed these ideas in his 1982 book, The Extended Phenotype. In many respects, it was a book far ahead of its time. In the 1980s, scientists had carefully studied only a few examples of parasites manipulating their host's behavior. But, you know, if we're not all vampire scientists, we're not morbidly fascinated with this kind of thing and trying to manipulate another living creature. Huh, I wonder if we could do that. But if the hypothesis was correct, there had to be genes within the parasites that trumped the genes in the hosts themselves that normally controlled their actions. 32 years later, scientists are finally opening the black box of parasite mind control. Parasite mind control. Frederick Liebersot of Ben-Gurion University and his colleagues, for example, are dissecting the sinister attacks of the jewel wasp, Ampulex compressa. The wasp stings a cockroach, transforming it into a passive zombie. The wasp can then walk its drugged victim into a burrow by the roach's antenna, like a dog on a leash. The roach is perfectly capable of movement, it just lacks any motivation to move on its own behalf. The wasp lays an egg on the roach's underside, and the roach simply stands there as the wasp larvae emerges from the egg and digs into its abdomen. Do you see what I mean? It's disgusting. So, parasite mind control, passive zombie. I wonder if this power of genetic manipulation could extend to another living creature. I mean, do you see what I'm saying here? This kind of research just continues on in gene therapy, biotechnology, and so on. You know, the positive eugenics, wink, wink. And you have guys like Kurzweil writing, I said that I intended to get back to this at some point. Where is that? 1999. 2029. Kurzweil writing in 1999. Direct neural pathways have been perfected for high bandwidth connection to the human brain. Oh, yeah, that's a neural lace. It's, you know, sure, we can do that. Really? In 2019, we're ahead of schedule. Congratulations. Well, it hasn't been perfected, so I guess that's... This allows bypassing certain neural regions, for example, visual pattern recognition, long-term memory. Why those two? And augmenting or replacing the functions of these regions with computing performed either in a neural implant or externally. So it's interesting that, you know, getting back to the conversation between Richard Grannon and Sam Vaknin, Vaknin points to research in neuroscience that demonstrates that music can be, you know, can essentially take over your behavior. It can be a mind control weapon or agent, I guess, you know, for better or worse, which, you know, calls to mind the cultural Marxists, I would say, who understood this. This is why I say a lot of this research, you know, we hear about this stuff and you think, I don't think it's new. You know, one of the things I was thinking of during that entire interview was Adorno's Philosophy of Modern Music from 1948, for example, where basically he says the same thing, but now scientifically, it's kind of, you know, it's been, I guess, proven, you could say, or validated. So anyway, the point here is that Sam Vaknin talks about music, how music can change our brainwaves. Neuroscience has proven that. And he says that essentially the narcissistic abuser... the speech of the narcissistic abuser is a form of music in this, you know, context. The correlation there is that, you know, this is a form of music, and so it can alter your brainwaves as well. And so you have that going on from without, and you also have these other efforts going on from within. So there's this complete coordinated attack on the individual. All right, so enough about that. Speaking of Dawkins, well, last little excerpt, I guess. Scientists have documented the jewel wasp neurosurgery in astonishing detail, but they're a long way from the full story. The wasp's venom is a veritable punch bowl of different chemicals, and Liebersot and his colleagues have yet to determine which ones affect the behavior of the cockroach and how they do. Who cares? But so far, their research isn't entirely consistent with Dawkins' theory of the extended phenotype. The genes that encode the venom molecules enlist the cockroach in the wasp's survival plan by providing an ideal nursery for the wasp's young. Again, disgusting. All right, so actually, before I leave this, the last couple of paragraphs in Carl Zimmer's article, and what What of Coccinelle and its hapless ladybug host? While at the University of Montreal, Fanny Maurer and her colleagues made a startling discovery. In turning its victim into a willing bodyguard, the wasp itself may only be acting as the extended phenotype of yet another organism. The researchers found that when a wasp injects an egg into a ladybug victim, she also injects a cocktail of chemicals and other substances, including a virus that replicates in the wasp's ovaries. Some evidence suggests it is this virus that immobilizes the ladybug, protecting the wasp's cocoon from intruders. What does that mean? I'll give you the last paragraph and then conclusion when we come back. Stick around.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle humps, ready to race to you. These days are ours.
Happy days.
These days are ours. Share them with me. These days are ours.
Happy days.
These days are ours.
You know, in all of this, for whatever reason, I think of Alan Watt saying, join us, you know, and the movie Alien, I always think of those reticulated jaw sets and they live. Oh, yeah. An Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I saw this movie, you know, could it not extend as well to the manipulation of another living creature? Yeah. Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I saw that movie. So last paragraph. The virus and the wasp have the same evolutionary interests. Turning a ladybug into a bodyguard produces more wasps, and more wasps beget more viruses. And so their genes work together to make the ladybug their puppet. The decoccinella wasp may not be the puppet master it once seemed. Instead, it hides another puppet master within. Da-na, da-na, da-na-na. So, you know, an infinity mirror of puppet masters, basically. James Jesus Angleton's wilderness of, you know, infinity mirror, you know, wilderness of puppet masters. So, you know, for whatever reason, that makes me think of central planning. There is a central planner. It's the shiny, flashy, fallen one. And there is a central plan. The plan of the hierarchy, work of the hierarchy. Anyway, what's the antidote to all of this? I think in simple terms, it's Romans chapter 12, among other things. How do you not allow your mind to be stolen? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And then this is interesting after. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. Again, those that are infected with a victim psychopathy probably don't have sound judgment. As God has allotted to each a measure of faith, getting back to Fred's point yesterday, measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body and all the same members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And so I think it's kind of the antithesis of this, you know, but again, you know, Acts chapter 2 versus communism comes to mind. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Verse 17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If it is if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.